we've got a lot to talk about. So we're going to quickly, I'm going to try to quickly go through everything that we have to talk about. This, there are volumes of books on this man that we're going to talk about today. And we get to try to fit it into a 45-minute session. So, this is, we're continuing with the call of God on Old Testament characters. Lesson 2. God's call gave birth to a nation. Anybody know who we're talking about yet? You must have got the handout. All right, Genesis 12, 1 and 3. Must be Abraham. All right. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land which I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Do you fall into that character or that category? Are you a family of the earth? You will be blessed through Abram. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Thank you, Lord. Our focus verse is Isaiah 51 and 2. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Anybody want to be blessed today? Anybody want the Lord to increase you today? Look at a great example of that here this morning. Our focus thought, to give birth to a nation of Israel, God began with a man named Abram. Just a guy. Just a guy. Just an ordinary Joe. Well, his name was Abram, but just an ordinary guy. In our cultural connection, have you ever thought about your legacy? Your legacy. What am I leaving behind for future generations? Or do you care? There are some homes in Sterling that are leaving quite a legacy of rusty metal. Junkyards. Things that will live on for quite some time. There are many things, many decisions that we make, philosophies that we believe, or achievements that we make in life, that will have an enduring influence. What's your legacy? What are you leaving behind? We do not have to repeat the sins and failures of our ancestors. Our ancestors had legacies as well. Our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents all had legacies. We don't have to repeat the failures of their legacy. You ever feel like you're just, well, I'm part of this family, so I'm just cursed to live this way? You don't have to repeat the sins and the failures of your ancestors. Thank the Lord. God can free us from that. We can live differently. We can begin our own legacy in God. Amen? I'm so thankful I don't have to live in the legacy of some of my family. Nobody look around this morning. I'll be pointing fingers. When a person responds to God's call, it makes all the difference. The impact can be enormous. We are not only saving ourselves, we are creating a legacy. We could be saving generations. Of course, you're not thinking about that when you're lost in sin. But it's amazing the blessings and the abundance and the increase that comes to a life that begins their legacy at this altar. Amen? Our influence will live on after we pass away. Our future descendants may never visit our graves. They may never know our names, but our influence will live on. I'm thankful today that one day my grandma and my grandpa came into this oneness movement in New Brunswick, Canada. I'm so thankful for that. They came in, they gave their lives to God, they lived faithful to God. They raised 5 boys, one of them being my dad, who continued faithful to God. They raised 2 boys. God helped me to remain faithful to God. I have a son, and I pray that he will remain faithful to God. We have a legacy. I'm so thankful for my past. I can't rest on that. I can't just say I'm going to go in on the coattail of my father or my grandfather, but I have to create my own legacy, right? But I'm thankful today that I have that. If you have that today, it's a blessing in your life. If you don't have that today, make your legacy that legacy. Let that legacy live on through your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Amen? All right. Legacy. Now we look at Abram at this point in his life. The scriptures present Abram as a model of faithful obedience to God. But have you ever read the story? not so much. He was good. He did all right. He did good. I mean, unless you're perfect, we can't judge him. But, I mean, he was a human being like you and me. Faithful obedience to God. Yet the Genesis account demonstrates a number of times that he failed to act in full obedience and faith. An ordinary man of his day. He lived without the Bible. He lived without a pastor. He was surrounded by superstition and idolatry. In a land he owned only by promise, not by title. To such a man, God entrusted the vital work of founding a nation that would be his own chosen people and from whom the Savior of the world would be born. Just chose a guy. I don't know if we were walking through the streets of Ur, if we could have even picked him out. Who knows? We might have said, well, there's a leader of a family, a good businessman, or a cattleman, or a... But to know him as the Father of all nations, all those who believe, we may not have been able to pick him out. Just an ordinary guy. Most of us can much more easily identify with Abram, the man of doubts and fears. Anybody identify with that side of Abram? A man of doubts and fears who showed only partial obedience to God's call. Anybody ever partially obedient? Dad, I clean my room, and then you go in to the room, partially obedient, because you find all the stuff under the bed or stuffed in the closet, or partially obedient. We identify with that, Abram, more than we identify with the giant of faith who started up the mountain. Faith that said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham knew at that point what he was supposed to do. Faith that just said, I and the lad go to worship. We'll be back. That's faith. Obedience to God's call changed Abram. It changed Abram. It changed Abram's legacy. It changed what the natural course of his life was going to produce. Obedience to God's call. He went from just a guy to now the father of all who believe in Romans 4:11. The father of all who believe. Our hope and encouragement come from knowing that any believer can come or become an individual of great faith like Abraham through the power of God's call. Do you think today that you, me, any of us can become an individual of great faith? Do you believe that today? It's much easier to believe that we can have a little bit of faith and, you know, all we need is, you know, mustard seed, so why do I need to be a man of great faith? Just need a little faith, right? Little faith is going to get me by in this world, just a little bit. Need to have enough faith that the chair is not going to fall out from underneath me when I sit down. Enough faith that those two yellow lines in the middle of the road is going to keep the other people on that side. You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, you don't need to be a man of great faith, but we can become an individual of great faith like Abraham through the power of God's call. We have to answer God's call in our life. We all have a call of God on our lives. Call of God is not just somebody that has been called to minister, to preach, to teach Sunday school, to be a missionary. We all have the call of God on our lives. And it will change you from an introvert from a loner to a witnesser, to somebody that shares the gospel. We all are called by God to be witnesses. Amen? All right, continuing on, because I've got a lot to cover. God called Abram out. You ever feel like you've been called out? You ever get called out? Boss calls everybody into the office. You're all lined up. What'd we do this time? And they're standing in front of everybody. Jeff, do you remember when you did this? These were the consequences of this, and this is how it affected everybody here. I'm not saying this has ever happened. I'm just saying. This is just an example. Hypothetical. God called Abram out. Sometimes we like to hide. We like to hide in the crowd. You ever go to those? Oh, we've been to a few things that we pay for to go see, you know, like a comedian or something. And they'll call, or a magician or something, and they'll call for volunteers. And there's a few brave souls that are, ooh, 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 pick me. But the majority, 99% of the people in there are going, I have to go to the bathroom right now, I'm going to be leaving. You know, they don't want to be the one that's called out. How many people lived in Ur? Abraham was probably like the rest of us. No, don't pick me, God. I mean, we all see the need. We all see the need. Don't pick me to go pray for that person, please, God. You've never said that, have you? You never thought that? God called him out. All right, Abram. Here you go. Now, before Abram, we don't know what his relationship with God was before that. We do have a little sense of his history, and that was his father served other gods. Joshua 24 and 2, they served other gods. And now we have Abram, just a guy. We don't know when Abram's relationship with God, anything about it before the call, or if he ever had one, a relationship with God before the call. We simply are told the Lord had said unto Abram to depart from his old life and follow him. Three things God called him out from: his country, his kindred, and his father's house. Separation from his country would mean giving up his friends, giving up his culture, and his comfortable, if you can imagine this, his urban way of life. Ur, the big metropolis of Ur. Giving that up. Separation from his kindred would mean parting from those he loved and those who loved him, his natural support network. Giving up his kindred. Anybody ever had to do that? Separation from his father's house would mean renouncing his right to his father's inheritance. And more importantly, renouncing his link from his ancestry. When you were living back in that day, the way to get the inheritance of your father was to grow up in the household, and eventually, when your father was too old to continue the household, the eldest would get the household. That's how you got your inheritance. So by Abram leaving his father, he had to leave everything. Everything. God promised to bless Abram. Now, if I was leaving absolutely everything, I don't know if I would want to leave what I knew for sure. Abram will get that inheritance, right? To leave all of the stuff that you know for something that you may get. A promise. Does everybody keep their promises? And this is a man that, as far as we know, didn't have a relationship with God before this. And now, all of a sudden, he's asked to leave what he knows and move towards a promise from someone we know. In our relationship with God, God has promised us things, and things have come to pass in our lives, and God has proven himself to us time and time again. But this was a man that did not have that luxury. He went from being called and leave and follow this promise that I don't know if it's going to happen. A man of great faith. In place of Abram's country, God promised a land that I will show thee. Okay, here's your inheritance. And I'm going to promise you something that I'm going to show you. You can't even see it right now. It's a surprise behind door number 3. Just head that way. I'll show it to you. It's a place that I'll show you. In place of Abram's kindred, God promised, I will make of thee a great nation. Man with no children. I'm going to make you a great nation. Okay. If you say so. In place of Abram's father's name and heritage, God promised, I will bless thee and make thy name great. Okay. I'm just a guy here. But if you say so. Obedience to God's call always requires sacrifice. But it always results in greater blessing. Always. Always. Do you believe that today? We are timid sometimes to follow God's call. But time and time again, the Word of God reveals the promises of God coming true and being greater blessings than the sacrifice required by God. Amen? Obedience to God's call always requires sacrifice, but it always results in greater blessings. Greater blessings. Mark 10:29-30. Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Eternal life. God promised to protect Abram. Stepping out into the unknown. What's one of our biggest fears? Security. Is everything going to be okay? If I leave my father's house, I lose my inheritance, my money, my cash flow. I leave the protection of this city and its the police force of Ur. And I'm just going to head out into the unknown. But God promised to protect Abram. Abram probably experienced the natural fear of the unknown. God reassured Abram that following his call meant walking in his protection. Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless thee, God promised, and curse him that curseth thee. God promised to protect Abram. God did not prevent Abram from facing difficult and even potentially deadly trials. I don't know why we think as Christians that we should never have to go through anything. Anybody ever feel that way? But I'm a child of the King. We've used that line in prayer. God, I'm your child. Why do I got to go through this? We think we're better than anybody else? Are you still part of this human race or what? Falls on the just and the unjust. So, God did not prevent Abram from facing difficult and even potentially deadly trials. Genesis 15:1, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Living a godly life does not exempt the believer from bad times. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Did he say that you'll suffer because you're doing good or because you're doing evil? No. The suffering is going to happen either way, is what that scripture says. Isn't that exciting? Anybody want to run the aisles this morning on the suffering that you will face in this life? It says it's better if you suffer for good than for doing evil. Either way, just so you know this morning, just so we're clear, you're going to suffer either way. All right. Hallelujah. Good stuff. When facing trials, believers can know God is their protector and defender. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's one thing that we have that this world does not have, is the knowledge and the confidence in God, knowing that He is our defender. He is our protector. Hallelujah. He loves His children. When we're going through tough times, when we are suffering in our lives, we can put our trust and our faith in Him, and He can give us peace in the midst of our storm. Amen. Now, God brought Abram out or into Canaan. God's promise endured delay. God's promise endured delay. There was a process that went on here. Abraham accepted the call, was obedient, but there was all this partial obedience going on. He remained in Haran until the death of his father. How long was that? God's promise was delayed. And then when he did leave, here comes Lot. As far as I know, as far as Scripture says, that was part of his kindred. So, continued delay. Got a call on your life. These are the things that I am requiring for you to fulfill your call. When all of these things are fulfilled in your life, the call will be fulfilled. And the delays continued. But notice that as soon as what God had asked him to do was complete, and Lot was no longer with him, all of a sudden, God comes back to him and reconfirms the calling. We have no idea how long Abram failed to obey God. His failing probably brought about the nature of Abraham's ultimate test of faith. I thought this was a neat point. I hadn't thought of it that way before. But the failing of Abraham brought about the nature of Abraham's ultimate test of faith. He would not give up his father, would he give up his son? He reluctantly gave up his past heritage. Would he trust God for his future legacy? The ultimate test of faith. The ultimate test of faith. God promised to give the land to Abram. Transparency one. And I'm going to have to really move now. God never repents his call. Despite Abraham's failures, God still fulfilled his promises. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God has called us all. No matter how long we make God wait sometimes. Right? Okay, God, I'll do it. Okay, you're still called. Let's get this thing done. All right. Genesis 12, 7, unto thy seed will I give this land. Even though there had been all this delay, now he comes back and he says, unto thy seed will I give this land. God never repents his call upon our lives. We may doubt our ability to answer his call, but God never makes mistakes. Hallelujah. Even when he made you, even when he made me, God does not make mistakes. When God calls you, he didn't make a mistake. When God wants to use you, he did not make a mistake. But God, I'm not worthy. But God, I can't do this. Tell me something. They tell me it's nighttime. That's what they tell me. I'm not an astronomer. But these guys studied the stars. Abram knew the stars. He would be able to wander through the wilderness and know exactly where he was going based on the stars in the sky. And God was explaining to him, and he's thinking, well, of course, I know how many stars there are. I've studied this my whole life. I tell you exactly how many stars there are. But God was wanting to challenge him to put aside everything that he knew as a human, everything that science of his day held to be true, and everything his own eyes could observe. That's what God was asking him to do. Yeah, if you spent enough time, you had enough manpower, you could probably count the sand on a beach. And if you want to start that project, go for it. What ended up happening was that Abram was willing to put that aside, and he believed in the Lord. Genesis 15:6. And he believed in the Lord. We've got to get outside of our thinking, outside of what we know, and be willing to trust God and put our faith completely in him. God's promise was also to Sarah. This is important. When God calls a man or a woman, that calling also falls upon their spouse, because the couple is one flesh. Transparency 3. All right. The only recorded words God spoke to her were, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." Twice Abraham profited from letting her be taken away by another man, by other men. Yet Sarah remained true to her husband's calling. Thank the Lord. The promise to Abraham or Abram would not have been fulfilled without her. All the women said, "Amen." Sarah's faith in the call of her husband was perhaps more dramatic than Abram's faith in God. We have no record that God appeared or spoke to her for nearly the first century of her life. Can you imagine? We get all freaked out if we don't hear from God in a week or a day sometimes. "Oh, speak to me. 100 years. Talk about a dry spell. We would not be running the aisles if we'd gone through a 100-year dry spell. We would not still be believing in the Word of God and still believing that God's Word is true if we went through 100 years of dry spell, not never hearing from God. Or would we? Or would we? God protected and blessed her for her faithfulness and her submissive heart towards her husband. Amen. 1 Peter 3:3-6, Peter wrote that believing women who adorn themselves with a gentle and a quiet spirit are the spiritual daughters of Sarah. God's promise was fulfilled. Did you have any doubt this morning as we started this lesson that God's promise would be fulfilled? Eventually we were going to get here. God's promise was fulfilled. Galatians 3:16 through 18. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should be made the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." Christ was the physical seed of Abraham, through whom all the families of the earth are blessed. We're bringing it around to not just Abraham, but now his legacy and Christ. What was the true blessing here? What was the true blessing here of Abraham? Was it just land and heritage and family and the 13 plus million descendants? There was more to it than just that. There was a promise. And Christ came along through that seed. And all the families of the earth are blessed. In this age, God calls every believer to bring this promised blessing to every family of the earth. Amen? That is our calling. That is our calling. Amen? To bring this promised blessing to every family of the earth. Galatians 3:13 through 14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law and made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That you and I, the promise, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. The promise of the Spirit. The blessing of Abraham is not just the land or the biological descendants. The blessing is the Spirit of God dwelling in you and I. Amen. Amen. And it's available to you and I. Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Thank you, Lord. Do you feel like a child of promise? Not all the time, no. But you are. You are children of promise. Galatians 3:26-27, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. A little bit of a requirement there. Anybody's got faith this morning? Just a little bit? Anybody want to have great faith this morning? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Amen. Talking about the Spirit of God, it's also talking about being baptized and putting on Christ. Thank the Lord for the salvation plan. Amen. And it is promised to all. Promised to all. Even the ones that we think don't deserve it. Even the ones that we think won't listen to us when we witness to them. Even to the ones that turn their back and walk away. They still fall under that. The promise is available to them. No matter how far away they get from God, the promise is still available to them. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. We can put up our walls and our barriers, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. And the promise that He has for you and I. None of us can be counted worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus, but by His grace, He counts us worthy. So, it has nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with Abram. Abram wasn't worthy. Well, Abram was a great man. It didn't matter. He was just a guy. Just like you and I today. We're not worthy of the calling that God puts on our lives. But His grace counts us worthy. His blessings flow upon us, not because we deserve them, but because He loves us. He loves us. Hallelujah. He loves us. There are times in my life that I fall to my knees and say, God, I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve the blessings in my life. I am unworthy. And it's times like that we realize how weak and feeble we are in this flesh. But then God, in his gentle mercy and his grace, picks you up from those times and says, my grace is sufficient. My love for you is without end. You're my child. I bless you. I love you. I put my loving arms around you. I know that you're just flesh. I know you're not worthy. But my grace covers all. My love for you has no limits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want great faith this morning? Do you want to be like Abraham? We try to be like Abraham with our attempts at great faith. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. When God says it, it can happen. Hallelujah. He's even willing to wait for us. Wait for us to get all the stuff that he asked us to get out of our lives and get out of the way. He's even willing to endure you and I so that his call can be fulfilled in our lives. Amen. So for the most part of his life, was just a century of wandering around, almost 100 years, just wandering. I think that would get really boring. But for the most part of his life, just wandering around, building a few altars, and listening for God. Want to be like Abram this morning? Still want to be like Abraham? Build a few altars. And just wait. God, you speak to me again or what? Had we seen him, we probably would not have been able to distinguish him from any other wealthy nomad. But the difference would have been evident once we started talking to him. His life was centered on belief in God. And he trusted God as his defender, his provider, his confidant, his best friend. Do you want to be like Abraham today? James 2. In 23. And we've sung the song till we're blue in the face. But I would like to be like Abraham today and how he was considered of God. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Anybody want to be called the friend of God this morning as we stand? Called the friend of God. The friend of God. Hallelujah. I want to be a man of great faith. When God says to go and do, I want to be that man that says go and that just goes and does. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Really? You want me to go down the grocery aisle and grab some olive oil off the shelf and pray for this checker as I'm going through? Really? Is that really what you want me to do, God? Yes, God, I'll do that. When we were in Alpharetta, Georgia with Brother and Sister Jones, Brother Jones absolutely amazed me at his ability to get Bible studies. And I'm like, really? Him? Her? I said, Brother Jones, you didn't need that ink cartridge for your printer. He said, I know. But that salesman had an open heart. And that salesman wanted to talk about more than just ink cartridges. And from that, we got a Bible study. Be willing and open to the call of God in your life. Be open and willing. And say, yes, Lord. I know that's a really weird request, but I have faith in you. I want to be called your friend. Thank you, Lord. Let's love him this morning.